Okay. Right. Woody vision. We've been doing this for a while now. What's the Woody vision? Number one. There's three parts. What's the Woody vision? Number one. Any more? That's right. Just second one, yeah? Third one. Fantastic. All right, those six can go. Now, the rest of you. That is, in fact, I mean, it's a vision. I don't know really how to define it. It's what we're about, really. It's just, you know, you've got to cut down to some sort of basics, I guess, haven't you? So we've been looking over this for the past few weeks. New readers start here. In February, the leaders went away for an away day and were praying and looking at what we feel God is saying to us here. And, you know, looking at the vision, the different aspects of it and the things we could be doing. And we came up with five priorities, and we just felt it was the best time to share those was this time in the autumn when, you know, we get new guys coming in. So we thought it'd be good for you to know a bit about what we're about, really, what our priorities are, what we're aiming to do. And it's not meant to be, you know, a controlling type, you know, it's supposed to be a sort of, well, this is the direction, guys. And, you know, be of one mind, really, in that, the unity that we talked about in the commissioning service there. So, you were right, well done. You can, all those who got the answers right, there's free coffee and tea after the service in there. It's fantastic to have such a response for such a small prize. Those aren't the prizes on the quiz night, are they? Tea and coffee. Right, so here are the priorities. All right, so we've been looking at these connections with Gates. So this is looking at the idea that as a fellowship, we're planted in this area. And if we're going to love this area, we need to get to know this area. So this is about just getting to know this area, using the restaurants, taking part in some communal stuff. There's litter picking and that sort of thing going on. And just being part of this community. And as I said before, really, if you're making that work where you are, because a lot of people here will be in this congregation who come from suburbs and different parts of the city. If you're making that work where you are, that's fantastic. But if it's not, then I challenge you to maybe start with Gates and learn stuff and then take it to that community. But the important thing is you have to make connections with Gates. And there's a notice board out the back with a very poor graphic done by the pastor, whose graphic's not my speciality. And the idea is we'll just put vouchers and things on there from different restaurants and stuff and just get to know this place. Start with the restaurants, get into the community. Prayer. Prayer is absolutely crucial. Nothing's going to happen without prayer. And prayer is going to God. Otherwise, if you're not really engaging in prayer, you're in a very sort of peculiar sort of relationship with God where it'll happen anyway. And that's really fatalism. That's not in a relationship with the living God. He calls us to pray and to wrestle almost and to say, come on, God, we believe this. So relationships, talked about last week. The main thing with relationships is they must be maintained. Like anything worth having, they have to be maintained. I'm not great in that. I've lost some really good friendships over the years because I just didn't maintain them. Hopefully you learn through experience, but relationships is about being maintained. So this is today's subject, healing. And next week, we're going to be doing Healing from God. And next week's a special service again. It's a dedication of Toby Forrest. So we'll have lots of Henry and Liz's family and friends here. So please, you know, make an effort to welcome them and to be friendly and to be on your best behavior. Well, I'll try. Right, so... Okay, so this is going to be a three-point sermon, because I know you like three-point sermons. So here's the 3 points I'm going to give you at the beginning. And Jesus healed the sick. You okay with that? Read the Gospels, heal the sick. He wants his followers to heal the sick. We're going to look at that. He got his followers to heal the sick. If we are his followers, to be obedient, we need to be healing the sick. It's quite simple, really. It's quite simple. Yeah. So that was wonderful, because in that moment, just that action there on that, put the fear level in here from about 8% to about 63, I'd say. But that is basically as simple as it is. I'm trying not to to sort of dress it up at all today. I'm really just going to just read some scriptures out, show what Jesus was up to. And then the challenge is with us. Are we followers of Christ? Do we want to do what Jesus did? And so on. But those are 3 points. So that's what's coming. Good to pray, wouldn't it? Father God, thank you. Thank you for where we are, Lord. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for these guys, Lord. Thank you for this community. Thank you that you've planted us here, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence, Lord. You're here by your Holy Spirit. Guide us, Lord. Guide us in this area, Lord. Guide us in this whole thing of healing. Lead us by your Spirit, Father God. I even pray that now you would be speaking to our hearts, Lord. If you want to reveal anything, Father God, you would be speaking to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And bless the words of Scripture, Father. Amen. Okay. I'm not going to... At some point, I might come back to a longer series, perhaps on healing, because there's a lot of questions, obviously. I've asked most of them myself. I particularly asked a lot of questions when we launched a healing ministry, healing on the streets here, and I was in hospital having major spinal surgery. I got titanium in my back, and we'd been planning it for a year, and then my back had a lot of prayer and got worse and worse. So I know what that feels like when you have prayer and it gets worse. That's hard. And I had a lot of questions, but none of that invalidates the fact that Jesus healed and he called his followers to do it. None of our experience invalidates that. So let's have a look at this. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at what Jesus did. It's always good to know what Jesus did. If you're doing your Bible study, you're trying to get maybe some, what readings should you do? I'd really encourage you to really get in the Gospels and to keep going through the Gospels and to learn about Jesus. And to just, every time you go back, there's just another level. Just read about what Jesus did and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Okay, here we go. Saving that trick for later. Well, Jesus, this is Luke 5, 12, 13. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and he begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. I've put "I am willing" in bold because that to me is a profound statement. Because we often wonder about whether God wants to heal. And in the Old Testament, a name that God takes to himself is Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. "I am the God who heals thee," from Exodus. And here Jesus, almost sort of touching a bit of the heart of the Father, says, "I am willing." In one sense, there's almost a sort of snort. "Of course I'm willing," in part of one of the understandings of the Gospels. "I am willing." Here's something else. Matt 8:16-17. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits through the word, and he healed all the sick. You know, sometimes it says many. Often it says all. This is important. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "He took up our infirmities and he carried our diseases." So there's the gospel writer tying that in. He's tying it into the healing. Healing is a huge thing. All of our lives need healing. Our relationship with God needs healing. But he's specifically putting this in the context of the healing of the sick. Matt 11. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Oh, that's so honest, isn't it? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Such a powerful story there, isn't it? John's in prison. He's so honest. He's thinking, did I get it all wrong? Have I climbed to the top of the wrong ladder? Have I put my money on the wrong horse here? Was this Jesus the Messiah? I don't know what to think. Go and find out. What does Jesus say? The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news proclaimed. So he says, he doesn't enter into a debate. He points to what he has been doing. Why? Because he's pointing to the kingdom. Right at the beginning, when Theo read that portion from Isaiah, that was how Jesus started his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring healing of body and mind and soul and relationship. That is what the kingdom is. And here's the thing. You carry the kingdom. Because the kingdom is the presence of God. The kingdom particularly is the presence of God where God's rule is coming in. So that's what Jesus said. That's all he said. And then he went off to make a completely different point. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. And still that word causes us to stumble. Because still there's a part of us that's saying, but Lord, healing, it's so tricky. If you were alive today, Lord, and you were trying to do your stuff today, you would find it so hard. So this worked fine in Palestine, but please don't give me any stuff about it working today. But he doesn't seem to give us that luxury. I don't believe in this idea of what I would call dispensationalism, that the gifts and the work of the Holy Spirit and everything were just for the period of Christ and the apostles. And I'm not going to go a big thing like that now, but one problem with it is that it means that an awful lot of scripture, an awful lot of the gospels, and an awful lot of the epistles were invalid. So it's just nonsense to me. It's just, God is so beautifully economical with all of his resources. It just seems crazy that he puts all that stuff in there, and then he says, but don't worry about it. You know, for 2,000 years, don't worry about it, or whatever. Okay? Calm down. That's my point. The point is, we can't work our way around this. Jesus healed. Here's the challenge. He wants his followers, point two, to heal the sick. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. That's what's known in the trade, I think, as total dependence on God. But he sends them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is among you. So Jesus isn't with them, remember, but he's proclaiming the kingdom because the rule of God is coming. And to heal the sick. No, not to pray for the sick. That's, oh my gosh, what a challenge that is. I am not free of fear in this situation, believe me. To heal the sick. He wants his followers to heal the sick. Next bit. And if people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out. And they went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. There's a pattern, isn't there? Right. Next bit. So there's the 12. They're all really excited. So then it goes up. This is what Jesus does. Starts with 3, then 12, then 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, for the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send our workers into his harvest field. go. I'm like, go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Oh, so it wasn't easy. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Yeah, we great it, Lord, yeah. Total reliance on you. And do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and you're welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Simples. Now, try not to filter this through all your experiences. Try to see this is the word of God. This is the gospel. Try not to filter it, as even I am tempted to do now with my back hurting. Try not to filter it through experience. Try not to filter it through disappointment. Try not to filter it through fear. Try to just say, Holy Spirit, this is the gospel. This is what we say. This is the word of God. So far, I guess it is at least we can at least put a wall around it, because it was Jesus. Well, he did amazing stuff. And then it was disciples. Yeah, but they knew him, didn't they? They were brilliant. Well, they didn't do everything so great, did they? But not us. Surely not us. This is the commission. This is the commission. This is the word of the Lord to every person who will follow him. You can say it so glibly, don't you? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. It's that word again. Therefore, go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. There it is. He's giving it to the church, but it's an eternal, well, not eternal. It's a word for this season, this dispensation. I use that phrase for this dispensation of grace and spirit. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That, of course, that's, you can't limit that just to Sermon on the Mount and the profound stuff he said. It's all that he said and did, because that's how he taught. As you've seen me, now go do. This is the whole thing of the way Christ lived. So here's the challenge, comes right down to us. And this is where decisions are made. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'm with you always to the very end of the earth. And then finally, says to all his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And again, I just wanted to highlight that bit, because that brings in all believers. Because the ends of the earth, they went to the ends of the earth as they knew in their lifetime and so on, but the ends of the earth is the church. The ends of the earth... I was going to say it's Cardiff. It's some parts of Cardiff. Sorry. But see what I mean? You're just keeping out from, you know, to keep going throughout the world. Anyway, all the best for getting off this hook. But I'll leave that to you. No, seriously, we have to individually, you know, let each man be fully assured, you know, of the truth in his own heart, his own spirit. You have to weigh up. You have to come to that place. But please, please, please be real with God. Don't play games with God. Please be real with God. Say how you're feeling to God. As followers. Okay, so all we need is all we need. It's simple. Obedience, a sort of recognition, yes, is your word, I need to do it. Compassion. Now, this is important. Many times in the scriptures, The Lord was moved with compassion. You see, he was moved with compassion. He saw the people without a shepherd. He was moved with the compassion. He saw the widow without a lost assembly. He was moved with compassion. It's a deep thing. It's a word that speaks about the guts. It's splashed in his own way in the Greek. And it speaks down here, and it's like he was moved. And he's, and in, why I've put Isaiah 58 there is because it says in Isaiah 58, Isaiah 58 is incredible. The compassion sort of a chapter. And it's saying there, look, you come to before me and you do your worship and you sing your songs and you do your stuff. And you say, God, do this, that. And I got to say, I'm not impressed. This is my paraphrase. I'll let you know now. But you see if that's what's in Isaiah 58, around about sort of 11, 12 on there. And the reason is because you are not moved for those who are suffering. You see injustice and you walk past. You don't give yourself on behalf of the homeless and the hungry and the those in need. You don't give yourself. And then he says, but if you do give yourself, if you spend yourself, it's a powerful word, then your healing will come. Actually, oh, so beautiful. Your healing will come. The sun will rise. It's almost like he's saying the other side of you deciding to let this mess into your life, to be available for me to use. The other side, you will have healing. And the sense I get is that they'd be flowing in healing, not just your healing. It's actually flowing in. It's actually bringing healing, because then it talks about you will be called a restorer of broken streets and a builder of broken walls. So there's a sense of a ministry, a sense of a service of God that comes after the thing of compassion, after we decide to take some painful decisions about, do we care about people? This is all very countercultural for us Western Christians. So, I know of a pastor who wanted to learn about healing, and he went to see John Wimber and said, he said, right, John, okay, you're going to serve with me for a year now. What do you want to do? He said, I want to do healing. He said, okay, yeah, you go with this guy, work on his team. So what team is this? He said, the homeless team. He said, I want to do healing. He said, no, go on. He said, okay. He went off. He did about a month in working with the homeless. Didn't do any prayers for healing or anything. He just worked with the homeless, just served, got dirty, got broken. Came back, he said, why did you make me do that? He said, because that's Isaiah 58. That's Isaiah 58. John Wimber, pioneer in healing. That's Isaiah 58. And what happens if you don't have compassion is you just see people as numbers and things to do stuff to. And, you know, it doesn't enter into your heart. And then the third point is faith and risk, because this is never going to be easy. This is always going to be stepping off a boat, whatever. Whatever analogy you want to use there. Boat is good because Peter used it. And boat is very good because when he didn't look at Jesus, when he looked at what was going on around him, he started to sink. When he looked at Jesus, all right. That's the end of the preach. I've got to tell you, I was awfully tempted to give you a long preach on healing and just go into lots of stuff. But we got to do this stuff, guys. So I thought, well, I'm the pastor. I'm paid to take risks. I'm paid to make a fool of myself. And so that's what we're going to do now. We're going to, I want to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And that's all I know. So I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And then we're off script. And I am scared. But that's just what I felt we needed to do. You need to get to a place where you've got no escape route apart from God. If you can get that in your life, if you can live a life where if you're done, you're, if God doesn't turn up, that's where powerful stuff happens. Okay, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and bring healing into this place, Lord. Lord, there was a, when Jesus was in that house and the guys kicked down the, you know, kicked open the roof and dropped the guy down here, the word says the Spirit of the Lord was present for healing. The power of the Lord was present. So I invite your power, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. and guide us. Guide us through this, Lord. Okay.